resources to do it. You just feel so discouraged after you hear that. You say to yourself, it's good for you that you can live a new life, but I can't. And you feel more depressed when you leave than you come in. But I tell you one thing. Now I tell you the power to live there. So that when you memorize the Bible verses, you know why you memorize it. Now you will understand. Now you understand why he urging you to live a life like that. Because you have to do your part, and God will do his part. Did you get a ticket?
No.
So what's the deal?
You can't have what you're interested in.
Yeah.
You can't have what you're interested in on the sidewalk.
You can what?
Have your hands in your car, hanging out on the sidewalk.
You can't find just a driveway where people walk on the pathway?
Can't
block. Yeah. People walking the sidewalk that people walk, you're not allowed to block it.
Oh.
So the police
has to
remove the car right away, so it's okay.
So it's a police?
No.
So that means people around, they don't like it. Okay?
Yeah, I think people make phone case, something like that.
Yeah, because it's blocking them. So let people know you can only have two car park there. You cannot have four car. Right? So by the time when you park four car, yeah. Then it's blocking the sidewalk, blocking the sidewalk is illegal.
So from 9 miles on, don't park out there. Don't double park.
Only two car. Yeah? Okay, I say one more time, okay? So that, okay. Listen to me very, very carefully, okay? It is very, very important. Today's lesson. Every time when you hear God requires us to live a life worthy of the calling, chapter 4, verse 1. Every time you hear chapter 5, verse 6, live a life of love. Chapter 5, verse 8, live as children of light. And chapter 5, verse 15, be very careful how you live. Make sure you live a life worthy of the calling, live a life of love, live a life of light. That means live a new life. How can I live a new life? Unless you are so filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot live a new life. You understand? When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're marked with the Holy Spirit in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment you open your heart to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, you're marked with the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit did not occupy there your entire life. You are still in control. You haven't given up your life to the Holy Spirit yet. We are start learning how to yield our life, our authority, our power to the Spirit power. Let him be in control. Like, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, the moment say, well, I'm still driving, right? If you're still driving, you're heading in your own direction. The moment when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, you should stand up and say, well, Holy Spirit, you drive there. You are in the driver's seat. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Like, you just think about, how long have you been a Christian, Emily? 10 years? 5 years? You don't even remember? 6 years, okay? The moment you believe in Jesus Christ, okay? But you're still in the driver's seat, right? When you are in the driver's seat, do you live a life worthy of the calling that you have received? Chapter 4, verse 1? You are not. Do you live a new life? No. Do you live a life of love? No. Do you live as children of light? No. Even though we are Christian, if we are still in control of our own life, you still live an old life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Although in chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not filling your entire heart. It's not filling your entire body. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You say, shut up. Then you're in control. When you're upset, you don't listen to the small voice of the Holy Spirit. You understand what I'm trying to say? We're still in control. So, the moment we are marked with the Holy Spirit, that we belong to God, from every day, ever since that moment, you learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. You learn to yield to the Holy Spirit. How do I learn to be yield to the Holy Spirit? Starting chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. We were all built upon the foundations of the apostle and prophet, right? We were built on the very word of God, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. Ever since we believe in Jesus Christ, we should start to learn the biblical word. We try to learn, understand what he requires of us. What did he want us to do? And what we can do, what we cannot do. We got to learn all this kind of stuff through the foundation of the apostle and prophet, through the teaching of the Old Testament and New Testament. And then in verse 21, chapter 2, the whole building, the entire church, that means everybody, Gentile or Jews, Gentile and Jews, as long as they are Christian, the entire building are joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And you too, in Him, you too are being built together too. Built together what? On the foundation of the apostle and prophet. When we learn the Bible, learn the Word of God, understand the Word of God, then gradually we become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. So having, I write it down, that's our heart. Before we believe in Jesus Christ, the entire heart is darkened by our wickedness, our sinfulness, our sinful nature. And we are in pain, we are in suffering, we are in affliction. And we found out there's no good to live a life like that. So we open our heart and ask what? Ask Jesus Christ to enter into our heart. And how did Jesus Christ enter into our heart? Jesus Christ entered into our heart by His Spirit. So He only occupies a very small area of our life. Just like a seed that is sown in the soil. Tiny seed. But that is a living seed. And eventually, if you pour water into it, if you have light shine into it, it will grow. That seed will grow. Will bud and rise. Am I right? In the same way, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, dwell into your heart. That is according to chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. He marked the ownership. That means this heart belongs to Jesus Christ. But the fact of life is, He only occupies a very small area, because you only allow Him to occupy a small area of your life. And the rest of it, you are still in control. Am I right? The more you learn, water means the Word of God, the more you allow water to get into the sea, something will happen. In other words, the more you allow the Word of God to dwell within your heart, the more you memorize God's Word, the softer your heart become. From hardened heart to softened heart. From darkened heart to lighten up. Before, you don't know much about Jesus Christ. Now, the more you study Scripture, the more you know about Jesus Christ. The more you know what He requires of you. The more you know what He wants you to do. What is He going to reward you when you do that? So the more you know, the more you yield to Him. This seed is the Holy Spirit. It's also the Word of God. The moment you allow water get into the seed, get light get into the seed, that seed will grow. Don't look down upon that tiny little seed. That seed is very, very powerful. Okay? The moment we build upon the foundation of the apostle and prophet, and eventually this seed will grow. It occupies more area of your life. The more Bible study you attend, the more Bible verses you memorize, that seed will grow. Take up more area of your life. You understand what I'm trying to say? The moment, by the time that you fully understand God is love, you fully understand that God is light, when you understand that, you will be able to live a life of love. You will be able to live a life of light. So, how do we build our life? We build our life, first of all, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, with the Holy Spirit inside our heart. Why? Because chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, before we believe in Jesus Christ, what is inside our heart? Who is in control? The evil spirit. That evil spirit got to be kicked out first. You understand what I'm trying to say? Chapter 1, 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit entered into the heart. Chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the evil spirit will get out. When the evil spirit get out, the Holy Spirit will occupy more and more area of your life. But I want to stop here. The Holy Spirit will not force you. The Holy Spirit will work with you. In other words, if you refuse to let the Holy Spirit to occupy that area of your life, He won't occupy. It's still the old Adam. The moment you say, okay, I don't like the way I am. I yield it to you. You are in the driver's seat. Take me wherever you want me to go. And then your life will change. He won't use a hammer, He won't use a pliers, and pry open the door. If you shut that area of your life, you say, this area of my life, you can't use it. Let's say, some people love computer game from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. That time is my time, is playing computer game. And that means that time, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock, the Holy Spirit cannot work in your life. If you want to have a breakthrough, you pray to God, you say to God, which hour that I am the most wicked man, and I want you to be in control at that hour. And ever since then, your life began. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And that's what Paul is saying from chapter 1 to chapter 3. Chapter 1 to chapter 3 is what God has done and what you are required to do. Then you'll be able to understand from chapter 4 to chapter 6 how you live. Be very careful how you live. To live a life of love, you live a life of light, to live a new life. I want to stop here and allow you to ask any question. Do you have any question to ask? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know what? If you don't understand that, you won't understand the rest of the scripture. You don't know why he's saying what he's saying. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. If we live by the Spirit, we should walk in step with the Holy Spirit. God began his work with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and God ended his work with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's what it really means. Daniel, could you read that? 5:25 Galatians.
Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit.
If God begin his work in chapter 1, 13 to 14, by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, it begins with that. God will end with the infilling. Indwelling and infilling. Indwelling, that means he only dwells a small part of your life. Infilling, that means he fills entire part of your life. When your entire body is so filled with the Holy Spirit, people won't see anything. He sees Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm trying to say? If people say, you have been Christian for 10 years, eh? And people say, I didn't see any difference. That means, for all these 10 years, and I'm still in control. That's what he really means. He didn't see Christ in it. You understand what I'm trying to say? And that's why I'm saying it is not good enough to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have to have what? The infilling of the Holy Spirit. It's not good enough to have the Holy Spirit dwell in our heart. We have to proceed to allow the Holy Spirit to fill our entire heart so that He means the Heavenly Father, will accomplish his task in my life. He created you, has one purpose. He wants to use you to advance his kingdom. But if we live our own life by our own strength, we won't be able to be used by God. Do I make myself clear? Now, I want to talk about a life experience. What is the reason why we do not allow the Holy Spirit, or we do not allow Jesus Christ to occupy our entire life? Gabriel? Because you want to what?
You want to live the life that you want to live.
Okay. But is that the purpose why he saved us? What's the reason why he saved us? He saved us so that we can live our own life? What's the reason why he saved us? Could you speak louder?
So then he saved us so that we can live the life that he set us to.
If he wants us to live a new life, If God wants us to live a new life, and we keep on living a life that we used to be, that's contradict to His purpose, to His will. We are not doing His will. Now my question is, what is the reason why Christian does not allow God to reign in our life? What's the main reason for that? Because of the evil spirit? You can't blame the evil spirit, because evil spirit is gone. Chapter 2, verse 2, the evil spirit is at work in those who are disobedient. We're supposed to be an obedient child, right? So what's the main obstacle that's stopping us to live the fullness of life that God designed for us? Donna? Because we are dead in sins and transgression? That's not the main reason. What is the main reason we do not allow God to live in our own life? To reign in our own life? Let Him be in control. 100%. First of all, we think we can do it by ourselves. But after we become a Christian for so long, we know better. Can we do it by ourselves? We cannot. The more we do it by ourselves, the messier we become. Am I right? But you can keep trying. You know, you can keep trying. You can do your own thing. And God will let you see that, wow, you're going to mess up your job, mess up your career. And in your career, you don't see that. You're going to see that you're going to mess up your own marriage. If you don't see that, and you see that you're going to mess up in your own health. Eventually, you're going to turn around if you are chosen by God. If you are His children, and He will discipline you. But if you are not His children, He will let you doing what you want to do. He won't interfere your life. Even though He interfere your life, you don't even know that He interfere your life. You think, wow, I'm just bad luck. You know what I mean? So, David, do you think about that? What is the main reason why we Christians do not allow God to reign in our own life? To occupy the entire heart. To control our entire body. To control our thought, our thinking, our life. So that we live a new life. We live a life of love. We live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So that you live as children of light. So that we be very, very careful how we live. But we Christians are not careful how we live. We thought, well, we are free. We are free men. Because Galatians chapter 5 saying that the Lord Jesus Christ set us free. Chapter 1 verse 4, free from wickedness. Because we are rescued from the evil age, from the wicked world. Just like the Israelites, they were rescued from the control of King Pharaoh, Egyptian, right? So they are free. In Israelite mind, they say, I'm free, that means I'm free to do whatever I like to do. But that's not what God means. It's the same as Christian. You say, well, now I'm free from the evil spirit. I'm free from the Satan. And I can do whatever I like to do. That's what Christians say. We follow the exact footsteps of the Israelite. Although they were baptized into Moses, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and 600,000 Jews die in the wilderness. We will not be able to get enter into the promised land. 600,000 male out of over 2 million people get out of there, Egypt. 600,000. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says God is not pleased with them. That's why they were struck dead. They are believers. They were believers. They were baptized. They left Egypt. They had freedom. And yet in their mindset, they want to go back to Egypt. They want to live the old life. They don't want to live a life of love, a life of light. They are not very careful how they live. They live the good old way. You understand what I'm trying to say? Is this a good result or is it a dead end? So it's good, it's not good, right? And these kind of people cannot enter promised land. If I remember right, in Psalm 95, the Lord swear that they not be able to enter into the promised land. Because they tested God for 40 years. Their life refused to be changed. Although they were disciplined, and they refused to be changed. And the Lord swear that they will not be allowed to enter into the promised land. Let me read that to you. Psalm 95, the latter part of verse 7, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massah in the desert, where your father tested and tried me. Though they have seen what I did, for 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are people whose heart go astray, and they have not known my way. Verse 11. So I declare on oath in my anger. So God swear in his anger, they shall never enter my rest, my promised land. Have they been baptized? How? Those people, God swear that they cannot enter my rest. Have they been baptized? Could you write it down right beside verse 11? You write 1 Corinthians. Could you read that? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 to 6.
Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased. Their
bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples. Keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did.
So in other words, now these things occurred as example to keep us from setting our heart on evil things. In other words, these things was written in the Old Testament and in the New Testament so that God urged us to live a new life. Am I right? They're still living the old life after they were baptized. They baptized into Moses in those days. In today's day, we baptize into Jesus Christ. In those days, they all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. In today's day, we all receive the Holy Spirit and we all listen to the Holy Scripture. Every Sunday, we go to His church and listen to His sermon. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their body was scattered over the desert. That is a really bad example. You have a question, Christopher? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 to 6. Did you find it? So let me stop here to just meditate on a few things. Is it good enough just to be a believer and baptized, attending church, and then our life don't change? We still live our old life. What's the end result? The Lord declared in an oath, in His anger, saying that they cannot enter my rest. How come He's so angry? Did God provide all the resources already? What's the reason why, chapter 4, verse 1, Paul saying that I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received? 5:1, 5:2, 5:1, be imitator of God, live a life of love. Live as children of light. 5:15, be very careful how you live. You know what? When we just take a look at all these words, we say, wow, this is a gentle word. But not knowing that if we don't live this kind of life, what will be the result, Donald? Huh? That is really bad, you know? Sometimes we don't see that, you know what I mean? We don't understand the Word of God. You know, we take it very lightly. You say, oh, live a life worthy of His calling. What if I don't? Live a life of love. What if I don't? Live as children of light. What if I don't? Be very careful how you live. What? I'm not careful how I live. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I found out that a lot of Christians, New Testament Christians, they don't fear God, just like the Israelites. They don't fear God. I tell you why God is so angry. Because in chapter 1, 13 to 14, what did He give us? Within our heart. We are marked with the promise, Holy Spirit. The whole Holy Spirit is a guarantee. Guarantee what? Guarantee we belong to God. We are God's possession. Guarantee that we're going to inherit God's inheritance. Right? With the Holy Spirit, that means we get a passport. Guarantee we enter into his rest, into the promised land. But God didn't want us to stop here. God wants us to grow. In chapter 2, how did he help us to grow? Chapter 2, verse 20, what did he give us? The foundation of the apostle and prophet. He gave us his word. First of all, he gave us his Holy Spirit. Chapter 1, 13, 14. Chapter 2, 20 to 22, what did he give us? Holy Scripture. The New Testament and Old Testament. The Word of God. That's the foundation of the apostle and prophet. Am I right? He gave us these two things. And then chapter 3, what did he say? For this reason, could you circle the word for this reason? He mentioned it two times in chapter 3. Chapter 3 verse 1, for this reason. Chapter 3 verse 14, for this reason. Chapter 3 verse 1, for this reason. Chapter 3 verse 14, for this reason. It's for the same reason. What is the reason? In chapter 2, verse 20 to 22. We were built on the foundation of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In Christ Jesus, in him, the whole building, the entire church, every one of the people, every one of the Jews and Gentile, as long as they are believer, in Christ Jesus, the whole building is joined together. The Jews and Gentile believer are joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. In verse 22, in Christ Jesus, you two are being built together. We are being built together or upon the foundation of the Word of God. Being built together to become a dwelling, to become a holy temple in which the Holy God lives by His Spirit. Can anyone tell me what's the difference between 2:22 and 1:13 and 14? If you don't see the difference, you won't understand what Paul's trying to say. Joshua, can you see the difference? 1:13-14 to 2:22. Could you read that?
And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit, who is a positive guarantee of your inheritance, until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. 20. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling which God lives by his Spirit.
In verse 22, in Christ Jesus you two are being built together upon the foundations of the Word of God to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Chapter 1, 13, 14. You were marked in Christ Jesus with the seal. Verse 22, chapter 2. In Christ Jesus, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. Do you see a difference? Or do you see any difference? Or do you understand what I'm trying to say? Donald, do you know? Tell me the difference. Chapter 1.
But in chapter 2, verse 20, it says you might. you have to get built again. No, you're not part of this.
You're marked with the Holy Spirit. That means this entire body is marked with a seal, marked with the Holy Spirit. That means you do not belong to yourself. You belong to who? You belong to God. If you belong to God, if you belong to God, okay? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, equivalent to 1, 13 to 14. You're marked with the Holy Spirit. It's by grace you have been saved through faith. You're marked with the Holy Spirit. That means you are saved through faith. Now that you are saved, now that you belong to Him. Chapter 2, verse 10. We become what? We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. The moment we believe in Jesus Christ, we are marked with the Holy Spirit. Once we are marked with the Holy Spirit, we have to let the Holy Spirit to occupy, to be in control of our life. All of us has to work towards that. And that's what Paul means. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Can anyone tell me God's creation? How did He recreate us? Did He have to tear down our own life? How can He build upon a new building upon the old building? As an engineer, you don't build a new building upon the old building. You have to what? Take down the old building, take down the old foundation, and then pour a new foundation, and then upon the new foundation, you build a new building. Does it make sense? And that's exactly how Paul described in chapter 1 to chapter 3 of the book of Ephesians. Does it make sense? No engineer. We spend so much money to build a new building upon the old building. He would take down the old building together with the old foundation, and then on that piece of property, he pour a new foundation, the foundation of the apostle and prophet, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone, and then on this very new foundation, we all of us, build upon this foundation to become a dwelling in which God lives. How did God live in this building? God is Spirit. He lived by His Spirit. What happens if you live by His Spirit? If God lives in you, that's the reason. That is the reason why Paul became the prisoner of Christ. If Paul was not locked up in the prison, he would not understand the mystery of God. Because he was locked up, he get all the time to meditate on the Word of God. God revealed His mystery to Paul while he was in prison. So for this reason, 3:1, 3:14, for the same reason, Paul prayed. You understand what I'm trying to say? What is the reason why Paul has to suffer? So that we know. When God began His work by marking us with the Holy Spirit in our body, He didn't finish his work, just the beginning. And then eventually he said, this property belongs to me, and I'm going to take down the building. Are you willing? If you are not willing to take down the building, new building, a holy temple in the Lord will not be able to build. I prove that to you. Take a look at chapter 1 of Jeremiah. What is the ministry of Jeremiah? It's the same ministry of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. David, will you read it?
Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, now I put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and plant.
What is the ministry of Jeremiah? First of all, to what? What did Jeremiah do? I appoint you over nations and kingdom to uproot, to tear down, to destroy, and to overthrow. And then, to build and to plant. Does it make sense? If we are not willing to destroy our own life, no way you can live a new life. In other words, if we do not understand chapter 1 to chapter 3, no way we can understand chapter 4 to chapter 6. We are wasting time. You know, we'll be so discouraged, say, wow, you know, look at this. Live a new life worthy of the calling. Live a life worthy of the calling. Live a life of love. Live a life of light. And be very careful how you live. It's impossible. So, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Could you tell me what do you understand today? Like, if the Lord asks you to live a new life, what is He trying to say to you regarding your old life? Wow, that's very good. Gabriel, do you understand? That old life has the ownership, has a sign of ownership of God in it, right? It's marked with the Holy Spirit. Am I right? And eventually, we say, let's uproot that. Let's destroy that. Do you remember Pastor John keeps saying to you, the moment you believe in Jesus Christ, you have to be what? Baptized? Do you know why he's saying that you have to be baptized? Baptized means what? You die with Jesus Christ, the whole life, die with Jesus, buried with Jesus, uprooted, destroyed, tear down. Right? Have you been baptized? Two of you haven't been baptized. Do you want to be baptized this Sunday? This Sunday. This coming Sunday, we have two people who will be baptized. You want to be baptized at the same time? Do you? Two of you. Say it again. You have a violin lesson?
A recital.
Recital? Okay. Yep. Anyway. You know, nowadays a lot of Christians, they want to keep their old life, at the same time expect Jesus Christ to give him a new life. How is he daydreaming? Do you have an idea why I'm saying what I'm saying? Do you understand now? After you study all this time, do you get a glimpse of it now? Start to understand why the pastor is saying what he's saying, why Paul is saying what he's saying, right? Right? So if we don't study the scripture, we still think we are good. By the time when we see Jesus Christ say, I don't know you, then we'll be in deep trouble. Right? Yeah. You know, we have lived our whole life for so long already. We're still getting used to it. In such a way that we love it too, you know? We don't let go. But we really have to let go. I tell you a mystery. How can we let go? The moment you find out that Jesus Christ loves you so much, Jesus Christ loves you more than you love your own life. If someone loves you so much and he's powerful, he will do you good and do you no harm, then you will say, I surrender all to you, Jesus. You are in control. The reason why we are afraid to let Jesus Christ in control, because we don't know where he's going to take me. I'm afraid he's going to take me to Africa. Or I'm afraid to get he asked me to take me back to China. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know what? If Jesus Christ chose Donald to go back to China, maybe a good idea. You're going to save a lot of Chinese. Right? You're going to bear more fruit. You know, Joyce, I pray for you. I pray for you. As you are young now, don't know much about the Bible, I don't want you to be a pastor, you know, because you're going to do a lot of harm to the church if you don't know the Bible and be a pastor. I want you to be an engineer to earn for your living. At the same time, you read the scripture. The more you understand the scripture, and then lo and behold, the Lord can speak to you just like he speak to me at the age of 39. He said to me, John, I do not want you to be a builder of any building made of brick and mortar. I want you to build a temple of God in the Lord. I want you to build a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. At the age of 39, after 10 years of being a Christian, I received so much blessing from Him, I said yes. And no turning back. If you become a Christian now, if you become a pastor now, and you don't know much about the Bible, you cannot hide, because you being a pastor, all of a sudden people look up to you, expect you to know the Bible, but in reality, you don't know. You feel so discouraged. I prefer that you be discouraged while you are being an engineer. You know, you can hide yourself as a job. I work as an engineer, I'm not a pastor. But in reality, you study like a pastor. Okay, Joyce? Once you graduate, I want you to study hard the Word of God. And allow God to work in your life. And I pray that all of the glorious riches of our Lord Jesus Christ and of our Heavenly Father, I pray that He can strengthen you with His Spirit power. So that Jesus Christ lives in you. When Jesus Christ lives in you, you will have the power together with all the saints to grab how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. Once you realize Christ's love to you is so big, so huge, that surpasses all knowledge, you're going to say, Lord, I yield my life to you. You are in control. Take me wherever you want me to take me. You see how your daddy prepared for you? I don't want you to be engineer for the rest of your life. I want you to be engineer for the early part of your life so that you can study scripture and enjoy good living. And then eventually be a pastor. Did you hear me, Daniel? You are the same. You are more blessed than Pastor John. And when I'm your age, I don't even know the Bible. I don't have a good teacher at that time. I have a lousy teacher. Now you understand. I have high expectation on you, Daniel. Christopher, you too. All right? I want you to excel in your homework. I want you to read all the material that your teacher asks you to read with comprehension, with understanding, so that you can analyze what is right and what is wrong. When you read the scripture with the help of the Holy Spirit, you have a better understanding of who God is and what He expects of us. And so that when you preach with knowledge and with power and with wisdom. Do you hear me, Christopher? Michael? You think I will leave you alone? You better study hard. Don't be lazy. If you're lazy, be a lazy pastor. You understand? Donald, same thing. Excel in your work. And then when you sense the Lord call you, leave that and go into ministry. When you go into ministry, you don't have to follow my footsteps, go to seminary. You don't need to go to seminary. Because if you start memorizing Bible verses now, a lot of churches know that you are God's servant already. You understand? Is that a deal? I pray, all of His glorious riches, that God can strengthen each and every one of us with His power. That is His spiritual power. Strengthen our inner being. We are so afraid. Wow, what if Jesus Christ fill my heart? He's going to ask me to do things that I don't like to do. You know what? If He asks you to do things that you don't like to do, it's good for you. Because the things that you like to do lead you to destruction. The things that you don't like to do give you prosperity. You understand? It's a better deal. Better. Same thing. Same to you. Alright? So, if you know what? All these girls, all these boys, if you sense that the Lord is going to call you, don't be so easy to get married to someone then who's not spiritual. Because you want to be pastor, then your wife says, no, I don't want you to be pastor. I'm not marrying a pastor. He's a poor guy. Then you can't do God's will. You understand what I'm trying to say? Better, if he doesn't love the Lord, don't even look at him. Okay? Now I'm talking to Daniel. You're the firstborn. Do you understand what I'm trying to say today? The moment we realize the love of Christ is so huge, so good, we're going to say, I surrender. Lord, I let you be in control of my life. Jean, same to you. And David. So what's the reason why we memorize so much Bible if we are not used by God? What a waste. Carl, do you hear my calling? Live a life worthy of His calling, right? You got to read the Bible thoroughly, inside out, together with all the saints. You'll be able to grab. You have the power of Christ, so that you can grab how wide, how long, how high, how deep the love of Christ is. Lo and behold, when you realize it's so huge, you realize this love surpasses all knowledge. You love me more than anything else. I can trust in you. I surrender. I let you in control. You know what happened? Verse 21. When God in control, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. By what strength? By the strength, by the power, God is at work in you. When you allow the Holy Spirit to fill your heart, God is going to do quick things in your life. Verse 20. To him, chapter 3, verse 20. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, not according to our own power, according to his God's power, the Heavenly Father's power, that is at work within us. You know what? Before we were Christian, the evil spirit is at work within us, chapter 2, verse 2. When we yield to the Holy Spirit and we feel us, and God's work, God is at work within us. Not the evil spirit anymore. And by that time, you can do great things. You know, I feel sad when I hear that Joshua wants to be a medical doctor. Joshua, you set the wrong goal. God spared your life. I don't think he wants you to be a medical doctor. Spend more time studying his work so that you be able to grab the love of Christ. It's so great. You don't study his word, you won't know. You won't be influenced by his word. You'll be influenced by the way of this world in which we used to live. And we were dead in our own sins and transgressions. Now you're a free man. Because so many lazy Christians, if you say to the Lord, Lord, you're going to use my life, and I can guarantee you he can sustain your life. And I'm afraid, by the time when you graduate with a medical school degree, and you die, don't live your own life, man. You are on a borrowed time. Actually, we are all living on a borrowed time. You know what I mean? New Zealand has a severe earthquake, 6-point-something, Richter scale. We hear rumors of war, nation against nation, people against his own people, Matthew chapter 24. Jesus Christ coming back very soon. And we're still doing our own thing. Just like when Noah time, the Noah saying to the people, wow, the flood is coming. The boat is about to be finished now. Let's get in the boat. We say, wow, I just get married. I just bought an auction. Yeah, I just do this and do that. And I refuse anything to the Noah. You know what happened? They all be destroyed by the flood. You understand? Do you hear me, Joshua? Don't waste time. You're going to thank me if you can go to heaven. You're going to thank me, Pastor John, to open your heart, to open your eyes, open your mind that you can see. I don't think your daddy and mommy will tell you that. I don't think they know. Okay? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, open our eyes, open our heart, open our mind that we can understand together with all the saints, both in Old Testament and in New Testament saints, that we can be able to grasp how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is. And when we have a glimpse of that, we find out this love surpasses all knowledge. Then we're willing to surrender all and let God fill our heart, control our life, and set our destiny. Because you want to reign in our life so that you can use us to reign with you in the millennium kingdom and in new heaven. I say that you encourage our children can see what your servants see and help us to press for, to compel us to press onward, upward, and follow you until we see you face to face. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.